Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Right, it's good to be with you this week, and as the Old Paths broadcast, and we are back again this week. I'm Pastor Jason Cooley, and we are just taking a look at everything that's going on today in our world, and just some things that have recently happened to us here that are rather surprising that took place in our street preaching here just over the weekend. And we're going to talk about that today. Actually, we're going to have attorney and brother in Christ Gerald Finney on with us here, and we're going to discuss some of the things that took place. And Brother Lonnie, if you would please search out that video, that audio file. If I can help you direct you to it here, I should have thought about this earlier, but there's an audio file on my Facebook page about this incident that took place with the police here and our street preaching on here in Northfield, Minnesota. It took place here about, if you go back on my Facebook page to about Saturday, you'll see where I uploaded. It's a video, but all it has is an audio file. All it has is an audio file on there because I had the recorder in my pocket. We usually have an audio recorder with us all the time and a video recorder with us all the time. That usually always takes place, but at this time, I had my phone is doing both at this time because there was something going on with my video camera. So anyway, in that 3-minute video, you will hear a lot of things that the police say and this particular police officer says. And this is the first time. It's not the first time we've had the police come out. The first, the first day we started, I think they came out and drove by. But we had some police officers come by. We actually had some stop and they didn't give us any hassle or anything like that. They were really very kind about it and talked to us about it. They were there as a presence for the people to let them know, hey, we know what they're doing. They're not doing anything wrong. That's the thing, it's interesting to say the least. Very, very interesting to look into. We're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about a lot of these things. Brother Finney is going to bring a perspective here. He's going to talk about police here today as being an attorney and understanding these issues of being a police, of working in the court system and being an attorney and understanding how police officers are. And some police officers, not all, but some that are out there, and just some things that he's experienced and some things that have happened to him along the way that has caused, as an attorney. And then, Brother Finney is also a street preacher. He's been out there in open-air evangelism preaching. And I'm excited to talk to him about this today as well. So we'll put him on a little bit later here. Most people celebrated what they would call Christmas here. I don't personally celebrate it. I'm not going to get into it, too deeply as to why I don't or anything like that, but I don't. You can find my sermons on sermonaudio.com as to why I don't. And what I believe the scriptures are clear about in other ways and some things like that, but I'm not going to get into that too deeply. I believe people do it. I believe they have the right intentions. I just believe it's not that's not when Christ was born, And I believe he was born in September, and there's a reason for you know, so, but that's a big celebration for a lot of people and a lot of Christians, and as well that do that. They're still brothers in Christ who may not agree on that. I believe that they may be, they're wrong about that, but I don't believe that that makes them any less a Christian than me. But that's what's been going on there in our news as we look and see obviously all the commercialism of it and everything else that's been going on over the last week and even today, the day after the aftermath. You know, there's tons of that going on. But hey, we're going to get started here right now with our segment that we like to call Wake Up.
Wake up!
Amen. Wake up. That's the name of that. That's what Christ has called us to do in Romans chapter 13. Time to awake out of sleep. The Apostle Paul says to us through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that it's time that we awake out of our sleep, out of our sleepiness, out of our slumber. You know, just some interesting things that we look at in this wake up segment here. Amazing. Obamacare just continues to. It just continues to, you know, perplex and continues to dominate the news, and it continues to, the fees are coming in 2014, and, you know, it's coming like a freight train. I'll be honest with you, I did not sign up for it. I won't sign up for it. I'll take the fine, but if need be, I'll take the fine. That's fine. But I won't be signing up for that, or I'll use an alternative that's out there. There's some alternative companies that are out there that are groups of Christians that are out there that provide, it's not health insurance, but it's a healthcare co-op that works with the hospitals as well. And it actually does have a waiver from the Obamacare mandate and everything. But anyway, I don't think they can get their mandate. I don't think they can even get their mandate to work. They keep kicking the can down the road and they keep extending it. They just extended it a few days here, and I still think they're going to continue to extend it and everything like that because they like mass chaos. They like this stuff to go on. You know, one of the things they're saying is that most people don't have a clue what's going on with their health care. They don't have a clue what they're going to do. They've got all these cancellations, all these other things, and the president continues to like, wave a magic wand, and he waves this magic wand around I'll just change this and I'll just change that. Well, when the GOP, which I'm not a fan of, but when they wanted to come together and they wanted to do something to hold it off for a while until they figured out what was going on and people's premiums and all this kind of stuff, the president said no, but he wants to be the hero and he's going to wave a magic wand. But he's not a hero, he's a zero in many ways, and people are noticing that. And the youth are turning on him because they have seen, and they are just, they've seen what's really going on with this. And you know what? Half of the youth don't want insurance. Why? They're young. They don't have any problems. Most of the time, generally speaking, most young people will not have any problems with their health for a long time. You know, they have youth on their side, and that's why they don't do that as much. They don't get into those programs unless they have a job that provides for that or something. A lot of times they don't do that. And, you know, it's interesting anyway, but that's what's going on. They continue to kick the can down the road. Meanwhile, you know, another thing I'd like to mention also is I seen something in the news about the military and the fact that, the military only got like a 1% raise this year. As opposed to a 1.8% raise they're accustomed to every year, almost a 2% raise. Now I'm not talking, when I say military, I'm talking about these personnel, I'm talking about these soldiers, these folks that are out there, these men that are out there serving, and they don't make a lot of money. And my problem with that is that Congress gets their raise anytime they want to, and Congress has no problem making sure they make $200,000 to $300,000 a year. I wish somebody could show me why they're worth that much. I really wish somebody could show me that. Because you know what? Where I come from, you got to prove how much you're worth. you literally have to prove how much you are actually worth. And these guys don't prove that they're worth $300,000, $200,000 a year. They don't prove it in the least bit. Matter of fact, I don't think they're worth half of that if you really know the truth of it. I think the most they ought to get is $60,000 a year and their expenses paid for. That's what they ought to get. Why? So they don't get piggy fat rich off the American people, and both themselves and everybody and their families exempt from everything like Harry Reid did. It's just ridiculous. These folks are making too much money. You know, hey, in other news, though, let's move on here. Guess what the feds did? The federal authorities charge a white knockout suspect with a hate crime. Hey, how about that? Isn't that something? Wow, isn't that something? Huh. It says here, reading this article here, it says the federal authorities, hang on a second, let me get it clear here. The federal authorities charged this Texas man in connection with a hate crime for targeting a black man for a vicious street attack. Most knockout victims that have appeared in news reports have been white, but the Justice Department said in this instance the victim was a 79-year-old black man and stepped in with federal charges. Suspected crimes of this nature will simply not be tolerated, said Kenneth Magnuson, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Texas. Evidence of hate crimes will be vigorously investigated and prosecuted with the assistance of our partners to the fullest extent of the law. Well, I'm still waiting. That's in Texas here. I'm still waiting for the reverse to happen. When's the reverse going to happen? If you're a gang of black kids and you walk up and you knock out a white guy, isn't that the same hate crime? Listen, let me help you out with something. The Bible's very clear, and so is our Constitution, by the way. A crime is a crime. Whether you hated somebody or not doesn't matter. It matters not. We have laws on the books that if you have committed a crime, then you're punished for that crime, not the thoughts that you had in the crime like that. It's just ridiculous. But maybe we'll have Gerald Finney talk about that in a few minutes here. Brother Finney, are you there? Why don't we have you come on and you talk about that here, Brother Finney. Are you there? A second to get him on here. But we'll bring him on here. And it says the Justice Department said it filed a criminal complaint against this 27-year-old man on Tuesday. And they arrested him. And a knockout, which it says here, a knockout in which someone decides to attack a random victim and tries to knock him or her out with one punch. Interesting, to say the least. That's for sure. But anyway, that's the way it goes. It seems like to me there's some reverse discrimination going on there. I don't believe in hate crimes. I think they're ridiculous. Hate crimes are absolutely ridiculous, so I don't buy into them. All crime, you have to have a bad intention against somebody to commit a crime like that. Against a person that causes physical harm, you already have bad intentions to do that. It's just kind of ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. But, you know, when people get paid $200,000 a year to sit around all day and legislate, and then they make backdoor deals and make millions of dollars, yeah, it's a joke. It's what it is. It's an absolute joke. So, but it's the way that it is in our society today. This is really all gearing up to blame Christians and say that all you're doing is hate when you preach, when you do anything. You hate people. That's why you do it. And you know, we want to definitely charge. You know, we want to cause trouble with that. Is what they want to do. So, unfortunately. That's what's going on in our world today. Part of the problem here. Well, we see also our country's economy is not doing well at all. I heard someone, I want to talk about this too. Actually, these biblical films that are coming up. I might preach on this again or do a video on this. I'm not sure on this up and coming movie Noah, because I'm sure it's going to be heretical to the bone. And I really don't want to see people fall for this garbage. Don't fall for this stuff. Don't fall for the lies that are in these movies. I mean, these movies are not biblical at all, the least bit. There's nothing biblical about Hollywood. They're a bunch of wicked pagans is all they are. They hate God. They hate Christ and everything about him. So don't fall for that. for those games of Hollywood and everything that's going on with that. But anyway, it is what it is, and they'll make millions of dollars off of Christians, is what they do. That's what they do. You know, they make all kinds of money off of Christians, sadly. You know, it's funny because if you start to look at this, most of the people that are involved in movies and everything else, I mean, that patronize these movies, they would have to be Christians if you believe the figures that of people that state that they are Christians. You know, if you believe that all these people that say they're Christians in America, you know, then you would have to come to the conclusion that these must be Christians or professing Christians that are partaking in these movies, which it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. But it is what we live in. I see this Snowden here. He cites Orwell in his Christmas message. He gives a radio talk on everything that went on, and basically warning people around the world of what America's up to. Well, hey, I mean, he's not lying. I'm sure he's not lying. I'm sure he's probably telling the truth. When we look at all these spies and all these other things that are going on, I can't really say the guy's lying. I mean, and if you notice that the Justice Department and all these, they haven't really denied anything he's saying. They're not really denying that this Snowden is lying. No, they're not gonna lie. Or they're not lying about it. They're going to tell you the truth. Hey, listen, we're doing this. Yeah, but we're doing it for your own good. You know? That's what they're doing. And that's what's going on today anyway. All right, Brother Finney, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, good. I got you on here. And it wasn't Lonnie's fault. It was my fault, actually. But Brother Lonnie is the God-ordained mastermind behind this and figured it out for me what was going on, why I didn't have you on right away, brother. So I'm sorry about that. But I got a question for you about this. I want your input on this. I don't know if you've heard about this knockout game. Have you heard about that, this knockout thing that's going on?
I've heard you talk about it. I haven't seen anything about it myself.
Okay, well, let me give you a background here, okay? The gist of it basically is that what they've had is basically a bunch of different black youths across the country have singled out folks, and they single out these folks, and then they walk up to them and they knock them out, be it man or be it a woman. They do a one-punch knockout. 70-year-old ladies have been knocked out. All these people. Well, it appears that the feds charge a white man. Now, this has been going on for months now, but now a white man is charged with doing this, and they're charging him with, the feds are coming in to charge him with a hate crime. Nothing was said by Al Sharpton and any of these black so-called leaders, these hucksters that are out there. I call them hucksters because they're racist, but there's white guys that are like that too, so I'm not just singling them out. But anyway, so now a white man gets charged with this, and they're going to say it's a hate crime for him. Where have they been? Where has the feds been throughout this whole thing happening for the last 2 months?
Well, we're in a period of chaos. We know that reverse discrimination is all right. It's all right for blacks to hate whites. And listen, I don't hate blacks. First trial I ever had, I defended a black man who was accused of assaulting a white man, and we got a not guilty verdict, and the judge was furious at the jury for finding the man not guilty. I'm not a racist, but
amen.
I recognize racism when I see it. And so we understand President Obama's a law unto himself. We understand one of the things he loved about President Lincoln was the fact that Lincoln just ignored the Constitution in certain cases, suspended the writ of habeas corpus. We studied that in law school and so forth. And so we see what's going on, but, you know, when you have corrupt rulers, and corrupt officials, even all the way down to the police level, the city police level, you have chaos.
That's right, brother, and that's what we're under right now is a lot of chaos, and the rule of law doesn't matter anymore. They just keep passing more laws and more laws and more laws, and it's absolutely ridiculous. There's so many laws that are being passed today that people can't even keep up with it. They don't even know they have done reports where most people are criminals and they don't even know that they've broken the law. There's so many laws out there today.
Well, one thing we'll get into, you said we're going to discuss this situation there in Northfield, is the fact that, thankfully, the courts are still upholding some of these rights, but the problem comes, for example, in the situation that's happening there at Northfield. Hopefully, it's over, but if it continues, what happened the first instance was reminds me of the city sending a kindergarten student out with a police badge on to enforce the law and to tell you what the law means. That's what he said, and I was just reviewing that just before this started. What he said reminds me of a kindergarten student trying to explain the quadratic formula. He just making up stuff just off the top of his head. Totally ridiculous, and we'll get into that a little bit. I took a few notes.
Yes,
on it.
I
have some quotes from some courts and so forth from the United States Supreme Court to back up what I'm saying. But fortunately, sometimes, you know, you can get justice in the courts sometimes.
Yeah.
But the problem is,
you can.
You know, the problem is, you have a whole community, not a whole community, but a large part of the community there in Northfield is kind of like that police officer. Well, I'm offended. They shouldn't be able to go out there and say those things and so forth. They have no concept of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Of course, as I understand it, Northfield's Lutheran anyway. And if you go back to their roots, I don't know how they are there now, but you and I know that the Lutherans do not stand for separation of church and state, freedom of speech, and all that.
No.
You and I know that. But anyway, we're facing, it's just, in the meantime, you guys could be going out there. Those folks who want to hear what you have to say could listen to you without interruptions. Others could listen to you if they would listen intelligently, but instead of being offended, check out and see whether what you're saying are true. See, that's one of the purposes of free speech, is to disseminate ideas and opinions and teaching and so forth. So you have a debate and seek out truth. But they're kind of standing in the way. But hopefully this whole situation can be used to educate the police officers, the city government there, and the citizens of that town, so they'll be better for it once it's all over.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And we'll get to, I want to hold off on that, but I found something else that I find interesting here. And we'll definitely be picking up that. Probably after the break, we'll get started talking about what transpired in Northfield. But there's an article on Drudge Report, a family of a brain-dead California girl weighs in and offers. It says that her fate is up to the courts. Brother Lonnie, if you go over to the Drudge Report, you can pick this article up. It's a girl that had a tonsillectomy and was brain-dead from it, from a tonsillectomy. And there are offers from people to the family to take care of this girl and leave her on life support. The family is also, if it should accept the opinions of doctors who says that Jahi has no chance of recovering, or if it should appeal a judge's decision that allows the hospital to take her off life support Monday, he said. They're going to start having those discussions as a family today. So how can the courts rule? Basically what they're saying is the Superior Court judge Avalio Grillo appointed an outside expert to examine the girl before ruling Tuesday that the hospital could take her off life support after 5 p.m. It says here, after her doctors conclude she was brain dead and moved to remove the ventilator, her family went to court to stop them, saying as long as she was breathing, they held out hope. This is unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it's very unbelievable. Not near as much value is placed on life in America today as once, as there once was, you know. If there is hope for that girl, the right thing to do is not to take her off life support. But, you know, those legal battles are complicated, and for the family, just I can't imagine the stress and the grief they're going through.
But if somebody is willing to do that, if they are willing to take care of her, there's an outside group that is willing to fund keeping her alive. And the judge is saying that the hospital has the right. You know, I'm sorry, brother, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If they did that to my kid, they'd be in a lot of trouble. I'm just telling you, they would be.
Well, I'm sure the family is going to do everything they can, and what a tragedy. What a tragedy that they have to go through that on top of the stress they're going through with their daughter being in that condition anyway.
Right. But, I mean, you know, it used to be, come on, life means nothing to these people. It means absolutely nothing to them.
Well, the principles of the God of this world are permeating our society, as you know, Pastor.
It's terrible. It's absolutely heinously terrible. It's just, it's unbelievable to see. You never thought you'd see it in our day and age that would happen, but it's becoming more and more prevalent.
Well, as you and I know, God has been taken out of practically all civil government matters. You know, the Supreme Court has declared this to be a pluralistic nation. The principles of the God of the universe are not followed anymore. They've been rejected by our nation, and it's filtered down through the education system to a large percentage of the population. And once you are a doctor nowadays, you've gone through many years of government, not only education, but indoctrination. And so unless you have some strong values aside from what you've learned through that educational system, you're going to go right along with those things. If you're an attorney whose values have come through the system, you're going to go along with it and so forth. If you're a president who got his values, if he has any, from who knows where, I don't know if our present president has any of those values, any values to speak of. But anyway, our society is just overrun with the principles, with people who are practicing the principles of the God of this world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we're at. I mean, and that's talked a lot this year. I've preached a lot on the spirit world and just what were the battle that's there, the spiritual battles that are there. And man, it's so prevalent today, so absolutely prevalent today in our society. It's a sad thing, but this is where we're at.
And sadly, we're behind a lot of nations, most of the developed nations. We're behind in the progress of this satanic system. But we're catching up.
Absolutely. We are catching up. You know, it seems to me that what's going on in our country today is mass chaos. Chaos is starting. The rule of law is leaving completely, it seems like.
And, you know, the problem didn't come about because of our government and so forth. It came about because of pastors and Christians and believers. And right now the problem's in the churches, the church growth movement, the emerging churches. It's a new religion. It's not based on what the Word of God teaches. In fact, most even fundamental Baptist churches don't even believe there's such a thing as the Word of God. As you know, they use different versions, and they'll use several versions, some of them. And And all of these versions are, say something different. So if they're all different and they're using all of them, which they're not using the Word of God, it's chaos in our churches. If we can't get our churches right, we can't get our government right, and our churches are just getting worse at an accelerating pace.
That's right. They absolutely are. That's where we're at today with everything. We don't have the same Bible in the land. We don't have the same Word of God any longer. I mean, we have the King James Bible that we believe and hold to and believe it's the inspired, infallible, perfect Word of God. But guess what? Most churches don't today. They don't have a steady authority. They don't have one authority. And that's where we're at today, really. That is where we're at.
And, of course, the Bible is not the authority for most churches anyway. They use business techniques. They use psychology. They run businesses right in their church. That's how they get by. They have daycare centers, schools, et cetera, et cetera. It's all about you. That's what the preaching is about. You know, they cater to what their public immediately surrounding the area where their church built, where their building is. They find out what the people want and design everything to please those people to get them coming in there, in the doors. It's ridiculous. It has no resemblance to the church of the Bible that Jesus Christ is building. There is a remnant. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." His church is still here, but it's not in most of these big mega church, what are called mega church buildings and so forth. Those are not New Testament churches. Those are not biblical churches. And that includes, to one degree or another, fundamental independent Baptist churches.
That's right. And, you know, sadly, this is the great falling away. You know, we've started that falling away that's to take place, and, you know, that's where we're at. This is that falling away, I believe, the beginning of it. You know, I don't know when. I'm not a doomsday counter or anything, you know, but that's where we're at. That's definitely where we're at today, and we just need to be praying on our knees and battling spiritually and outdoing what we're going to talk about after the break here, outdoing what we're supposed to be doing. God's people, God's preachers, and God's men need to be out there. Men need to be out there preaching on the streets and preaching in the open air and getting the gospel out there, getting the truth out there to a lost and dying world, and we need to be exercising these liberties that we still have in this country. Before they're swept away.
Amen, and it needs to be done in order like Old Paths Baptist Church is doing it, where you have a pastor leading the men out there. Now, now there's another man now leading that particular ministry, but the pastor is out there street preaching. He's not a businessman that's ashamed to go out there himself and street preach. He's not a pastor who doesn't want to face trouble and so forth. He's a man who's doing what the Bible teaches, and one of those things is he should be out there on the street spreading, preaching the gospel.
Yes, amen. That's right. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's about our Father's business, and our Father's business is not some boardroom. You know, it's not some boardroom that we're doing a bunch of stuff in. It's not some executive businesses now or business that you have to take care of all this extra business. Yeah, we do some of that. Anyway, hey, listen, Brother Finney, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about this, actually. We're going to talk about what went down in Northfield, and I'm going to explain the situation kind of, and then of what happened and what took place, and then get your input on it and all that good stuff. But we're coming up on a song here, and it looks like it's John Was a Baptist, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes.
train. And if I could take a bullet, I still couldn't take the pain. No, but it's not the place for Christian to take matters in his own hand. So I just turn it over, report it to the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither death nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plans. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman. He didn't come from another planet, though he owns the whole universe. No, he just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth. Where they plotted it was just to kill him. They drove nails in his feet and his hands. And he conquered sin and he lives again, the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither death nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away. He don't hide in a phone booth, never had a change in plans. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman. Owns the whole universe. No, he just left his throne in heaven and descended down to earth. Where they fought and watched out to kill him, drove nails in his feet and his hands. And he conquered sin and he lived again, the original Superman. He can move a mountain, has power over night and day. And neither death nor height nor kryptonite can steal his power away. Yesterday, today, forever, the original Superman.
All right, we are back. And back with Brother Finney here and on the Old Paths broadcast. And we're going to talk about what happened and what went down in Northfield, Minnesota here this last week. And Brother Sean Bishop looks like he's listening in. I seen that he was on there. He can listen up. And if he's got a comment or something that he wants to make, Brother Lonnie can let us know if he has something that he wants to say there. But anyway, what went down there last week? Now, Brother, if you could, Brother Lonnie, if you could put on the Faith Baptist page, Facebook page, if you could put on there what took place with, or the article that Brother Finney posted there, if you could post that, what he put there, all the links and everything, all that article has on it, it's a great resource there and has the whole issue of really what went down and what happened there in Northfield. And we'll explain this to you. A little bit here just to get started. Then, Brother Finney, I'll have you come on and we'll kind of talk about this and really get to the bottom of all of this and have you explain a lot of this through the law and through everything else that takes place. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs what we're dealing with here in this country today, but it is what it is, and we've got to be prepared for it. When we went to preach in Northfield here, we go out about every other week. You know, when it's cold like this, we go out about every other week down there. And it just so happened that we went this last Saturday, and we went out on the streets to we go in the little square there, the public area. It's a public park, and we preach the gospel there. We call men to repentance there, and we try to. You know, we hand out a bunch of tracts. Our videos, Brother Lonnie, if you want to post some of our videos on Faith Baptist Church's Facebook page there from my YouTube channel, you can do that and post some of those so they can see what's going on with that. and they can get an idea of what we do when we go out there. I mean, we don't go out there just to – we don't go out there and protest or yell at people or anything like that. What we go out there for is to bring the truth of the gospel and to call men to repentance. Now, some people don't like that, and some people get mighty upset with that when you do that. But that's what God's called us to do, and that's what we're going to do. They've never liked it. If you look at the history of street preaching, they have never liked it. It has never been popular. It has never been something that folks like to hear. It's always been something that folks have hated. You know, some folks have hated. Some men have been saved by it. Others have been challenged by it. But nevertheless, it's biblical. It's God's command to do, so that's why we do it. Anyway, so we go out there and we preach the gospel, and we call these men to repentance. Well, this last Saturday, we went out there, and we preached to these men, and we preached the gospel to them and called them to repentance and handed out a bunch of gospel tracts. Had some nice folks there, really. Had some people there that loved the Lord, that actually were happy we were there, actually bought us a cup of coffee and bought me a sandwich, too. I thought that was very nice of them. But anyway, some Christians had heard us preaching, and they were blessed by it and said thank you. They weren't from there. They were from a different area, but nevertheless, they wanted to tell us that they were blessed by it. Now, anyway, so what took place... what took place was a shop owner in the area, a shop owner from the area came out of her shop, stopping her ears and running towards me, and said, and one of my men was preaching up there on the pulpit up that we made. Or that we bought there, and he was preaching. He was just preaching. He's preaching loud. You're in the open air. I mean, how do you think Jesus Christ preached to 5,000 people? You think he whispered, or you think he didn't have a microphone? He preached. He lifted up his voice like a trumpet, preached the word of God with all boldness, and that's what the Lord did, and that's what we do. And anyway, that's what our forefathers have done. That's what you look at. I was reading the history of the Virginia Baptists this week. All over that, you can hear persecution. You hear about persecution from those men, those 45 imprisoned Baptist preachers, what took place with them, and how they were, back in the 1750s, how they were persecuted. So we understand that's exactly what will take place. But anyway, so we continue to preach. The lady comes out there with her stopped ears, so to speak, and says, "You're ruining the message. Were you ruining the message?" I'm like, "What in the world are you talking about? You're preaching, you're ruining the message of God's word." And I said, "No, he's up there preaching God's word." And, "No, he's doing it wrong." So here's a lady that, by the way, a lady doesn't preach the Bible anyway, and she shouldn't be coming over telling men how to preach, but they're lost and they don't get it. They don't have a clue. But anyway, so this lady comes over and tries to tell a man how to preach the word of God. And, you know, most ladies today, and this may sound bad to you, you may not like this, but this is the truth. Most ladies don't know what a real man is, and they get a little offended by that when a man's not effeminate and he's not see, usually she's used to telling her husband what to do, probably, and her husband just listens and does what he's told to do because he's afraid of the wrath of her. And anyway, there's a Jezebel spirit out there today, and it's been out there forever, but I mean, it's there's a Jezebel spirit that's out there that hates male authority and hates the word of God. I remember in the Bible, if you read about that, I've got a sermon on Sermon Audio called "Do You Have a Jezebel Spirit?" And it deals with that a little bit, how Jezebel didn't like what Elijah was doing either. But anyway, that's another story altogether. Doesn't surprise us in this world we live in. But this lady came out, and she said we were doing it wrong, and she was yelling, and she was stopping her ears. She said, "I'm going to call the police." And I said, "Okay." I mean, that's all I could say. I couldn't say anything. She just ran away from me. And I said, all he's doing is preaching. But that didn't matter to her. She wasn't going to hear it. And she went into her store, and she called the police. Well, time went by, and I got up there and preached, and I stepped down from the pulpit, and another lady had greeted a lovely lady had greeted us and said, hey, thanks for being here, and gave us a hot cocoa or something and a hot drink, and gave us, you know, some a sandwich, and said, we just appreciate what you're doing. And then a police officer approached us, and the audio, I don't know if Lonnie could find that audio. It's in, actually, Brother Finney's link. You have the linked audio, Brother Finney, don't you?
Yeah, they can go to the website there, geraldfinney.wordpress.com. That's spelled geraldfinney.wordpress.com. And just click on the I'm going there right now so I can tell you. Click on the tab at the top there, the contents tab. Just put your cursor over the contents tab, and then go down to miscellaneous articles and click there. And the top article is the one that gives all the information on this unfolding battle there in Northfield. It's got the links.
Amen.
It's got the links to the, for example, it was a video, but it wasn't on the officer or anything. It was kind of pointed at the ground, but you can hear the audio of the police officer when he arrives. It's got, let me see, what else is on that page? It's got links to the Old Pass Baptist Church street preaching page. It's got a link where you can click right into the website of Northfield and see that Bridge Square Park, where y'all were at, is listed as a city park in Northfield, Minnesota, and the importance of that we'll get into. You can't just go speak anywhere, according to the United States Supreme Court, but you can speak in public parks, public sidewalks, and so forth. And it's got a link to one of your messages that deals with this. Christmas is not about the truth, where you dealt with what happened out there and showed, you know, that incident showed that Christmas, at least in Northville, but also all over the country, is not about the truth. And I've also got a link, I just put it on, a link where they can listen to this blog talk radio show right now. If they were to click on that right now, they can go to this blog show, and later I'll put the link on there for the permanent link so they can go and listen to this show. And I've got other links. I've got links to articles, books, everything that get into these issues so that people can understand what's going on. Now, I'm going to be adding a lot more. As you know, this just came about. You called me last Saturday night about this, and we talked about it, and I added some cases and some things from some cases since then. But I did some more research today, and I'll be doing more research, and I'll be adding more excerpts from other cases, mainly United States Supreme Court cases, that explain more about the issues that this officer brought up.
Okay, Brother Finney, one thing what we're going to do is Brother Lonnie's going to try to do is get that video or that audio ripped and so he can actually play it online so folks can hear it and kind of get an understanding of what took place there too, from what the police had said and what went down there and everything concerning this issue. It is an important issue, you're going to explain how important it is in a few minutes. I'm not going to do that quite yet. I'm going to finish kind of walking through what took place there. This lady, she came after she had called the police on us. The man came over, and the police officer came over. The police officer waited until all the 10 supporting people that were standing around us and praising God for what had been done there and us preaching. He waited for them to leave, and then he came over, and then he walked over, and then he started saying, "What's going on here?" And I said, we're preaching God's word in the open air. You know, we're street preaching. And he said, well, you know, I get reports that where do you get, you know, those signs that, you know, you're breaking an ordinance, or you got to have a permit for those signs. And then he said, what else did he say? Oh, he said, you know.
He said things like this. I got some notes on it if you want me to.
Go ahead, brother. You go ahead, please.
Well, he said things like, you're getting aggressive. He said, you can't be bothering somebody. You can't be displaying signs. When somebody complains and we show up, you can't do it anymore. You have to stop. This is the city's property. We own it. For example, he named a park where they close the gates at a certain time. We lock it up. This is not the sidewalk. That's a different set of rules on the sidewalk. I can criminal trespass you, and you can't come here for 1 year. He said, you got to back off so people don't complain. And anyone can complain if offended. And again, when you know the law, when you look at the law, immediately he sounds like a kindergarten student trying to explain the quadratic formula. He's just making up stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I kept asking him questions during this, and because I wanted answers from him, and he seemed to be perturbed. Questions that I asked him, Brother Finney, he seemed to be perturbed by it. If you notice in his voice, he seems to be rather perturbed by it. He's not very happy. He's not very happy with somebody asking these questions, really. It's like, just do what you're told, you little troll, and go back to your little hole where you belong. And that's really the impression that I got from him personally. But, you know, and I felt like, and I controlled myself, but I really felt like, well, the Lord had control of me, but I really felt like that's what he was trying to do. He just dismiss you, not give clear answers. I asked him, is that the law?
You'll
notice it. And there, what I said to him, I said, is that the law? That's what I said to him.
Well, he does, sadly, he's out of his field of knowledge and expertise, and he was sent out there to do a job, and he had no idea about what to do. And we love the man, and we're going to try to educate him and so that he
Amen.
Knows the law. Here in Austin, Texas, I led up street preaching ministry for many years. I was just part of it for a while. The man left, asked me to take over. I did, led it for many years, and then turned it over to another man. And here in Austin, because it's such a liberal city, it's a big city, it's a center of intellectualism, I guess you'd say, in Texas. And so the law here knows the First Amendment. They know we have a right to be out there, and they always protected us. They knew we had a right to be out there. I could tell you stories that are just, it almost like God was using them to protect us. But in a lot of places, people don't go out and street preach. A lot of towns, most towns, they've never heard of such a thing as street preaching. So when something like that happens, especially a religious community like Northfield, where you have, as I understand it, the Lutheran Church firmly embedded, they do not understand these issues. They don't understand the First Amendment. They don't understand the Constitution. They've never been educated because nobody does what they're supposed to be doing. None of the religious, quote-unquote, religious people, the Christians, are out there doing it. So what we want to do is use this as an opportunity for them to grow, to learn the law, for the city to learn the law, for the police to learn the law, so that all the folks there in Northfield will understand that they have a right to go out and speak in public. Now, there are limits on that, of course, and we'll get into that, but you can't go out there and do some things. But as long as you're preaching the gospel and things like that, you're protected, you can carry signs with you, you can preach, you can hand out literature. This has all been settled by the United States Supreme Court a long time ago. Now, we know that's trying to be changed mainly by the homosexuals right now, who do not like freedom of speech, a lot of them, and they've got people in powerful places working on that. But right now, we still have our First Amendment protections, and we just want to use this as an opportunity to help that whole city and all the people there.
Amen. That's right. That's exactly what we want to do. We're trying to give the truth out here, and we hope that this, we pray that it doesn't become an issue any further than what it has. But when somebody tells me as I'm preaching out there, when somebody says to me that, well, you know, if somebody doesn't like what you say or they say you're getting this aggressive, then we're just going to kick you out. You're going to have to leave, and I could criminal trespass you off of this place, and that's just the way it is. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, something about this does not sound right.
Yeah, I'm kind of reminded of Acts chapter, what is it, 4, and all along there in those chapters, they told them not to do it, didn't they? Didn't they say not
sure
to
speak brother.
In the name of Jesus? What'd they do? You just preached on that. They prayed a prayer that the Lord, as soon as they got out, after they had been ordered not to do it, they prayed for boldness to go out and proclaim his, proclaim the word of God with all power, you know. And so no matter what the laws are, the question is, what are we going to do as Christians, you know?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's what we have to figure out. We've got to say here, where are we going to stand? And, you know, I'm actually, if this goes any further, you know, and something does happen, I'll be honest with you, we need to get some street preachers that are going to come down here and or come up here, and they're going to stand there and they're going to preach. And I mean, we're not gonna just surrender that territory to the devil and just say you can have it. If I get arrested for preaching the gospel, then I expect to be some other men down here ready to preach the gospel here and ready to make some calls around the country and say, hey, this is wrong, and we're gonna do something about it.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about that. We're going to communicate with them to try to educate them. You know, call their legal department and try to, talk with them about it, give them some cases to look at and see if they'll do right. And once we do that, they should inform the police there that what the law is. And then they won't have any excuse if they violate it. You see, if they violate the law of our country, there are things that can be done on our part from that point on, and we would have to decide what to do, but we would have to make sure that what we're doing is biblical, you know, and you and I have talked about that.
No, amen. The most important thing for me is to get this truth out there. As far as God is going to use this, and we have a platform to be able to speak on these things, and you know, that's exactly it. We have Facebook, we have this ministry here, Blog Talk Radio or Old Paths Broadcast, and I've got pastors that are friends across the country as well, and other evangelists and other preachers that will understand this, and we need to be able to get this issue out here because it matters. It matters for you in your own hometown. It matters for wherever you preach at. All these things matter, that we're going to take a stand for what's right, and we're going to do it biblically and Christ-honoring. We're not going to do it as a bunch of jerks.
Well,
you know,
one of the
we're not going to do it that way.
Oh, that the religious crowd like that lady was worried about is, you know, like the established churches have always wanted the church and the state to work hand in hand and do things, you know, the church to do their part and the state to do their part, and they're working together. And when you had dissenters coming along, before America came along and before that theological warfare in the colonies that gave us our First Amendment, the established church usually went to the state and said, hey, we need to kill those heretics. And so they burn them at the stake, they drowned them, they cut their heads off, they tortured them mercilessly, and so on. And so that's the mindset that one who believes in union of church and state and all that goes along with that has. And so that's the mindset of a lot of fundamental Baptists, you know. We want to show the government that we're good. No, we want to show God that we want to glorify him by being obedient to him. And that's why on the website, the highest law on that page that we referred folks to earlier, the highest law is God's law. That's where most attorneys fall short. They don't realize, they never mention the highest law. They stop with the United States Constitution. Of course, the United States Constitution, the First Amendment, is a statement of the biblical principle of separation of church and state, not the biblical principle, not the principle of separation of God and state, which is not a biblical principle, but the separation of church and state is a biblical principle. The religion clause of the First Amendment stands for that proposition, and those other freedom of speech, press, assembly, and right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, all of those things were tied up in that warfare of our Baptist forefathers who suffered since the beginning of the church for the cause of Christ.
Amen. Listen, Brother Finney, one thing I want to give out the call-in number, the guest call-in number, in case somebody wants to call in. Our number is 646-915-9266. That's 646-915-9266, just in case somebody wants to call in or maybe have a question about that or maybe have something. Well, Brother Finney, here's how – so we've presented the information. This is what happened. This is what took place. Now, you know, Brother Lonnie is still working on that audio, but walk us through some of this, if you would. Walk us through some of this kind of like point by point or as best we can. I know we don't have – you've got notes there and everything else. Show us where what this police officer said was not correct information, you know, from basically the beginning of it all the way through, that this wasn't really true what he said.
Well, okay. He said – you're getting aggressive. You can't be bothering something. You can't be displaying signs. When somebody complains and we show up, you can't do it anymore. You have to stop. This is the city's property. We own it, blah, blah, blah. I think the United States Supreme Court has a little more authority than he does. And the United States Supreme Court, and I'll just read you some of this. For one thing, the streets and the parks have always been classified in America since these issues were taken up by the Supreme Court as public forum where you can go and you can street preach and you can distribute literature and so forth and you can carry signs and so forth. But let me give you a quote from a 1949 Supreme Court case. And I'll be putting this online with some of the other stuff, and I'll be putting a lot more online under the cases that I already have on there, just quotes from some of the cases. But the court said this: freedom of speech, though not absolute, is protected against censorship or punishment unless shown likely to produce a clear and present danger of a serious substantive evil that rises far above public inconvenience, annoyance, or unrest. The vitality of civil and political institutions in our society depends on free discussions. As Chief Justice Hughes wrote in, and he names the case, it is only through free debate and free exchange of ideas that government remains responsive to the will of the people and peaceful change is effected. The right to speak freely and to promote diversity of ideas and programs is therefore one of the chief distinctions that sets us apart from totalitarian regimes. Accordingly, a function of free speech under our system of government is to invite dispute. It may indeed best serve its high purpose when it induces a condition of unrest, creates dissatisfactions with conditions as they are, or even stirs people to anger. Speech is often provocative and challenging. It may strike at prejudices and preconceptions and have profound, unsettling effects as it presses for acceptance of an idea. That is why freedom of speech, though not absolute, is nevertheless protected against censorship or punishment unless shown likely to produce a clear and present danger of a serious substantive evil that rises far above public inconvenience, annoyance, or unrest. There is no room under our Constitution for a more restrictive view, for the alternative would lead to standardization of ideas either by legislatures, courts, our dominant political or community groups. And here's another case. You want me to read some more?
Yes, keep going.
This is from Gooding, 1972 Supreme Court case. And these things haven't changed. The constitutional guarantees of freedom of speech forbid the states to punish, now that would be the states, the cities, the counties, to punish the use of words or language not within narrowly limited classes of speech. Even as to such a class, however, because the line between speech unconditionally guaranteed and speech which may legitimately be regulated, suppressed, or punished is finely drawn, in every case the power to regulate must be so exercised as not, in attaining a permissible end, unduly infringe the protected freedom. In other words, now they're talking about a statute that they had tried to use to suppress some speech. In other words, the statute must be carefully drawn or be authoritatively construed to punish only unprotected speech and not be susceptible of application to protected expression. Because First Amendment freedoms need breathing space to survive, government may regulate in the area only with narrow specificity. Now, basically, they say that speech that can be controlled or punished has to be fighting words. And they get, you know, other cases get into what that means. Here's something on streets and parks, if you want me to read that.
Keep going. I want this to be clear to folks. Now, listen, the reason why Brother Finney's reading this to you, so we can understand and you can understand as a preacher out there, if you're preaching God's word out there, you understand what the laws of the land are. You have an understanding of what public, what it means to be in the public, in the open air, what it means to have freedom of speech, and what parks and other things and what your speech does and how it affects everything else, how it affects what a police officer, what the ability they have to, or the authority they have to arrest you or anything like that. Go ahead, Brother Finney.
Here's from another case. Whenever the title of streets and wherever the title of streets and parks may rest, you remember he said we own these, we control
yes.
them. This is what the courts say. Wherever the title of streets and parks may rest, they have immemorially been held in trust for the use of the public and, time out of mind, have been used for purposes of assembly, communicating thoughts between citizens, and discussing public questions. Such use of the streets and public places has, from ancient times, been in the United States. I'll add that. Been a part of privileges, immunities, rights, and liberties of citizens. The privilege of a citizen of the United States to use the streets and parks for communication of views on national questions may be regulated in the interest of all. It is not absolute, but relative, and must be exercised in subordination to the general comfort and convenience and consonant with peace and good order. But it must not, in the guise of regulation, be abridged or denied. Okay, that's all I'll read out of that one. And, you know, I'm going to be putting a lot more of this information online. But, again, this policeman was sent out there without having ever been educated in these matters. And who knows why he was upset. If he understood these things, I don't believe he would be upset. You know, a lot of times we think something is right that we believe in, and we get upset when someone contradicts us. But a lot of times we can be wrong, and when we know the truth, we come around and change the way we think and what we believe and so forth. And Jesus Christ said we are to be a light. Don't put your candle under a bushel. We're to display our light. And these Supreme Court cases are saying that we have the right to go out there and give out the truth, and others have the right to go out there and give out what they believe to be truth. We might be going out there giving out some information that they might disagree with. And we can talk with each other if they'll be peaceful and calm and control their emotions. But I believe, Pastor, a lot of times it's a lot more than emotions. I believe there's a lot involved here. Here you have a policeman. He has a lot of authority. He is the law. This is the mindset of a lot of policemen. We are the law. You get over there and sit down and shut up. You listen to us. A lot of policemen are trained in the academy to constructively bend the truth. In other words, lie. That's why when you go out and street preach, you need to have not one, but several recorders of various kinds there to record what's being done. I have won cases. In Texas, by law, when people are stopped, the police have to have their video camera on. When they're chasing a car, for example, they stop the car, they have to have their video camera on. I had one case where the police took the people out in the field, didn't realize we could still hear what he was saying out there. So he wrote up his offense report, and I got discovery of the video. And he lied on his offense report. I had in my files, and I still have in my files, I think, two cases that went all the way to the Court of Criminal Appeals of Texas where the defendant had been found lost, but someone at the Court of Criminal Appeals finally looked at the videos, reversed the convictions. They said, nobody's looked at the videos. This shows in one of the cases, the police had said they had asked for consent to search someone's car. Well, in the trial, and so all that was brought out was what the police got on the stand and testified to and what the witnesses have been for the defense said. And, of course, they found them guilty based on what the police said. And nobody had looked at the video all the way up. Do you think anything ever happens to these policemen when they do this? No. Now, if it's real severe and they shoot somebody, sometimes, you know, they've suffered from that. But I had another case where it wasn't the police who lied, but a lesbian and her date lied and said that a street preacher got in there in her ear and shouted, and she was assaulted. Well, and she was so convincing. I got to watch her interviews with the detective, and she was standing up for what's right, and she was very convincing, and her friend was very convincing, and fortunately, they had a bunch of DVDs, and I got to see them all. That's one thing about it here in Texas. You get pretty good discovery in most cases, although I'll tell you about a case, possibly the Michael Morton case, where a man got within prison 25 years for murdering his wife, where the state withheld evidence that would have freed him, and he was finally freed, proven not guilty, and the real murderer was convicted. But anyway, the state hadn't gone through all those DVDs, and one of them showed what happened, and we knew it was the incident because in their written statements, they said one of them said that was the only time she had ever been down there, so they couldn't say, well, that was another night, you know. And the DVD showed the man standing off probably 15 or 20 feet with his megaphone. He wasn't shouting at him even. He wasn't even shouting at him from that distance, you know. He was just standing there street preaching, and they didn't like what he was doing. So, at any rate, the police are taught to constructively bend the truth so they can get around the laws that were meant to control the government and government power and government officials. specifically the Bill of Rights, and specifically, for example, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and so forth. And so citizens who want to protect themselves need to have proof so that it's not their word against just the policeman's word as to what was said and done.
Brother Finney, so you're saying that these police that you believe, or you have caught them in different cases lying?
Oh, yeah. Those some of the instances. I had another case here in Austin, Texas, that I had to really search my soul to see if I should go ahead and do it, but I was appointed to help.
Go ahead. I want you to talk about this. I want you to explain this case. And it veers off a little bit of street preaching, but it gets to the point. Listen, folks, the point is that you've got to have an audio recorder with you when you go out, and you've got to have a video. You should have somebody videoing it, everything that's going on, because police lie. So listen to this.
All the criminal defense attorneys that I know of here in Austin know this, and so they know it's something we constantly fight, and I've fought it, and I learned that soon after I began practicing criminal law. But I was appointed, probably in the 90s, late 90s, somewhere around there, to help a guy named Leslie. He's a cross-dresser here in Austin. He's probably Austin's most famous citizen. He was for some time, and I didn't agree with what he did. I witnessed to him during my representation. I tried to explain salvation and so forth to him, but you know, I was appointed on this case, and he was charged with obstructing a passageway. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. I went and interviewed him, and he told me what he said happened. So I found out where it happened, and I went, and it happened down, of course, I knew the address on the offense report, but I went to that spot, and I went into the business where it had happened right in front of, and I said, I'm here representing Leslie. I'm an attorney. Anybody here see the other day when Leslie was arrested? One of the employees standing there said, yeah, I did. I was walking out the door just as it happened. I stood there and watched the entire thing. I said, well, would you mind telling me what happened? He told me exactly the same story that Leslie told me. Leslie had never, he didn't get out of jail until the trial was over, if I remember correctly. At any rate, I thought, well, Leslie's what does the Bible say God hates? What is one of the things? A lying tongue. Seven things does the God hate, right? A lying tongue is at the top of the list, is it not, Pastor?
Amen.
So I have a moral dilemma here. I don't agree with what Leslie's doing, but it's not against the law. These cops lie constantly. They're lying about this man. They're telling outright lies. The reason they're lying is because he went downtown with his little grocery cart where he carried all of his stuff on that had sideboards made out of cardboard, and on that cardboard on each side he says, police falsely arrested me, took all my belongings, my purse, my money, everything, and stole it all, and I never got it back, you know, something to that effect. And and he was going right down to one of the main drags in Austin where a lot of tourists go, where a lot of people go to party and all that. And they were getting furious at him. And so they had told him, Leslie, you better get off the streets here. We're going to get you. Well, that's what this cop did. He lied in order to get him. And so I thought, well, this is going to be an easy case. I've got Leslie. He's a good... You know, I'll put him on the stand. I'll put this witness on the stand. And 3 days before trial, I had subpoenaed the witness. I called to touch base with him. I called where he worked. That's where I had him subpoenaed. And the man said, oh, he moved to Washington State last week. So here I have to go to trial, Leslie's word against the cop. A cross-dresser. Now, he's a man with a beard, kind of scruffy hair, long hair. dressed in a hot pink jumpsuit at trial.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
You know, against his word against the cops. Now, of course, I went and took pictures of the scene and showed, you know, how the street was sloped, and part of this, the officer's story couldn't be true because he said it was sitting on that slope and it would, you know, but he didn't have anything under it. You know, it would have rolled to the side. A lot of things. I got into a lot of details, but at any rate, the jury found Leslie not guilty, and rightly so, because he wasn't guilty. And you say, well, you shouldn't defend somebody like that. Well, I don't take a lot of cases. I won't mention the kind. I don't take a lot of cases, but I couldn't see that it was wrong for me to defend him in that case.
No,
and why was,
because a greater problem is those that are in authority that are willing to lie and throw people in jail because they're lying. That is much more dangerous than this silly little cross-dresser who needs to get saved, but this silly little cross-dresser who is out there doing what he's doing. Yeah, he's wicked as a devil, but you know what? He can't hurt thousands of people like these police officers can if they get away with lying.
Well, seeing our laws are wicked, I think it would be biblical to pass a law saying a man has to put on his clothes, but, you know, he wasn't completely naked, but at times he was close to it. The first time I saw him, I was sitting in Muni court fixing to go into the court with a man I was representing in a free speech case back in the 90s for placing crosses in conjunction with his picket and sidewalk counseling at abortion clinics. The Lord gave the victory in that case. But anyway, I was sitting there with him.
Yeah.
The elevator's about 4 or 5 feet in front of us. I had never heard of Leslie, never seen him. But right over to my left, you know, I was looking at this guy, and he was to my left, and the window where they checked out of the jail was to my left. And I saw what I thought was a woman over there in shorts and a T-shirt. He turned his head, and he had a beard. And,
oh, boy.
I thought, oh, man. He came over and pushed the button to the elevator, standing right in front of us, and took off all his clothes. But he wasn't completely undressed. He had one of those string bikinis on.
Oh,
and,
my
So that was my
brother.
First time to ever see Leslie. But all I'm saying, you're right, this line by officials and their attitude and everything they do, being a law unto themselves, is a lot worse than even that, you know.
Yeah, because they have the power to be able to lie about people and throw them into prison. And that's a very serious thing that can be done. We're not condoning the wickedness of that man's lifestyle, but what we are saying is that a man that has authority, he can hurt a lot of people. Listen, hang on one second here. I wonder if this will work here. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties. Let's see if this will work here. Let's see. Brother Eric Frank, are you there?
Hey, brother. I've been listening. I'm here.
All right, good. All right, good. Well, I've got you on live. Brother Finney, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Now, Brother Frank, why don't you go ahead and share with us the importance that you were going to talk about a little bit about video and audio and things like that. You've been kind of introduce yourself. You've been on the show before, but introduce yourself as far as what you've done with this, why the importance of the video and audio, and what you've been doing over the years at Gateway Anabaptist Church with that.
All right. I'm Brother Frank from Gateway Anabaptist out of Monroe, Michigan, and my passion has always been with videos and pictures. So if you're on Facebook, you've seen quite a few of my things, but just learning from Brother Dan, who really fought the city of Monroe back over 20 years ago. A lot of the things that Brother Finney is speaking of, Brother Dan is went there, but he set a precedent and he fought them and he learned the laws. But having audio is so important because I don't know if you've touched on it, but I'm sure you have, but what they call the color of law. You know, they're going to bring things up, and if you don't know the law, or if you don't, as Dan has taught us, you know, in the law, in there, if you don't have an objection, there's not going to be no objection. Their thing is to shut you down because you're nothing but a nuisance. Because when you go out there, you can read the Bible all you want. Okay, you can read the Bible 100 times, but until you make your ministry foolproof and you go out into the streets, and when you go out in the streets and you start preaching, you're going to see that Bible come alive, because you're going to see where Elymas was there, and you're going to see where, you know, the selling of the purple of there in Ephesus. And you see that when it comes down to the money, it comes down to the money, they want you to get rid of it because you're affecting their money. And so having importance of video and audio, because we know that let God be true, but every man a liar. So they're going to lie, and that's why you even see that in the news and you see other things. The police don't want to be recorded. Why? Because those hide people who do things in the dark because they don't want things to be seen. So if they don't have the light, or if they don't have that camera or that audio there, they're going to lie and get away with it all they can. And so it's very important that you have that audio and video, and you can't be intimidated, because they will try to intimidate you. And you know, thankfully, I mean, I haven't been in too many circumstances to where it is. But you have to do it, because when we were up there in Northfield 4 months ago, the guy came over. He was very cordial, you know, and he left. He told us, well, I know you guys have your rights out here. Just kind of keep it diarying. So it all depends on who you get, you know, when you're there, because apparently you guys got the wrong guy there, and he just thought he was going to push you guys around. But you have to set a precedence, you know, and so I'm blessed to see that you guys are putting up this fight, because it's not only for Northfield, but it's for all of us. I mean, there's been other brothers that over the last 30 years who are gone to court cases. Brother Ick is there in Indianapolis, you know, and brother Kevin Deegan, you know, they've set precedences. When we were this past year, when we were in Indianapolis, you want to talk about totally polar opposite what you guys, but when we were preaching on the street there, just nothing but drunks, we had over 30 officers standing in the middle of the street, making sure none of the brawlers were there. We had four cop cars around there. We had two dogs. We had two dogs walking around. They were all there for us. I mean, it was total, total opposite. So it all depends on where you're at. But I still had the video out. I still had the audio out, because you never know what's going to happen. And but yeah, it's video and audio is very important, because it keeps everyone honest. You know, it keeps everyone honest, especially in the day of a bunch of lying thieves that we're living in.
When you were there, Brother Eric, when you were here at the time that you and Brother Ickes came up here, the most interesting thing that I found to be shocking was that video proves exactly who the aggressors are. It's never the preachers. You were standing there. You guys were standing there, and I'm going to have to mute your microphones here for a quick second, because I've got to go to break here in just a second. I might just mute you there for just a second there, because we're going to go to break here. But anyway, you guys weren't the aggressors, but they were the aggressors, the people that approached, and you can talk about that when we come back, but you guys were not aggressive at all. This man kept chasing you down. This Lutheran pastor kept chasing you down to talk to him. Well, listen, we got to go to a break here, and our song here is John Was a Baptist by the Marksman Quartet. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Baptist, and I am a Baptist too. John was a Baptist, and I am a Baptist too. Teach me, O Lord, to preach like John, and to baptize one by one. John was a Baptist, and I am a Baptist too. Preacher too. Well, he preached.
preach to the lost at Pentecost, and I want to reach all the lost.
Peter was a preacher, and I'm a preacher too.
David was a singer, and I'm a singer too.
David was a singer, and I'm a singer too.
Well, he sang to the Lord a beautiful song, and I want to sing along.
David was a singer, and I'm a singer too.
And to baptize one by one.
John was a Baptist, and I am a Baptist too.
The Old Paths broadcast, and we've had Brother Eric on here, and we've had Brother Eric was talking about the importance of video, and Brother Eric, looks like you're back on live here with us. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, good. Well, you go ahead now. You know, talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to have Brother Finney come up right after that, but talk a little bit about that Lutheran pastor and how the aggression wasn't from you. You were trying to get away from him. He had kind of bum-rushed every preacher there, two or three of them.
Right, well, because his conscience was bothering him. See, and that's the whole thing, is that, and that's what happens when you get out there. You get out there preaching, it's the word of God won't return void unto himself. We know Hebrews 4:12 there, it's quick and powerful. And we were out there, and he was coming up because it was a daughter from one of the stores. His daughter owns a store, you know, over off the main street, right in the corner there. And so he thought he was going to come out and, you know, being that he was, his being a pastor for 40 years, he thought he was going to come around and, you know, we're just some pipsqueak and he was going to push us off. Well, he soon found out that, you know, that he didn't know, you know, diddly squat when it came to the scriptures. And he just, you know, used to pushing people around. Well, you know, and we have that on video how he, you know, acted like a child and ran away. But the important thing is that in between all of that, when that officer did come up, you always have to keep on preaching, because their main objective and what the devil's main objective is to stop the preaching. So when someone's dealing with the officer, you need to keep on preaching. I mean, Brother Ickes can tell you a story when they were in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's had a lot of experience with that, but the preaching must go on, because that's their whole objective, is to quit the preaching, and that's what you're out there for, is to cry aloud and call men to repentance. But having that camera, that officer came up there, and I think that was probably your first, you know, encounter with the law officer, and he went about his way. He came, and then what was the funny thing was is that they kept on getting calls, and if you look in the back of that video, there was three officers about 20, 30 feet on the other side of the fountain. They were just standing there, from Northfield, mind you. They were standing there talking with each other. They had to make their presence known, but they were also making their presence known to everyone there in Northfield. Listen, these guys aren't doing anything, but they were getting tired of all the calls from all the people, whoever was calling. So they were just doing their job. So they know you have your rights. So this guy was totally off his rocker on Saturday or whenever you guys went out last. because when we were there, there was three of them standing there while we were preaching, and they didn't do nothing about it. So there's no consistency across the board.
That's just it. You know, what we've seen there was a different story. Go ahead, Brother Lonnie. I mean, go ahead, Brother Finney. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good to know. I was afraid that I didn't realize that, although I think I've got a picture of that on the Street Preaching website. Street Preaching.
Yeah, it might be in a picture as well.
Mm-hmm. I've got a picture of that, but I didn't know the whole story behind that. But that's good to know. It sounds like this is a Lone Ranger, you know, coming out there.
Right.
Not under the auspices of the city and everything like that. So maybe they do understand the law there. Maybe it's just this one guy that they need to deal with.
Right, because, yeah, I mean, I'll go back and look at my video, and I think there was another brother taking video of the whole time. So if you go back there, you can say, listen, the officers know that we have the right. They didn't do nothing to us, but they were getting so many calls. They had, by law, they had to come out there, but at the same time, they were also setting a precedent. Hey, everyone, you know, be quiet. We know they're here. They're not doing anything. They have their First Amendment. And so, you know, and we, you know, continued whoever the last preacher was, finished up preaching, and we had been there for 2 hours, so we continued on. But I believe I was going to go up preaching again. We could have went there, because if they wanted to do anything, they would have come over. But they were sitting there like we didn't even exist. So it sounds like you guys had a lone ranger.
Well, I want to offer my apologies to anyone there in the city of Northfield that I might have offended then, because I assumed that this man was being told what to do, but evidently it sounds like he wasn't. And so I apologize.
We're not sure yet what he's – we don't know the whole story yet. So, you know,
right.
I'm not sure what is, and I guess we'll find out here pretty soon.
Well, this guy
right.
was,
it could have been
I was reading off some of the things he said, brother, and he certainly was just like somebody out there, didn't know anything about the law, just making stuff up, you know? So at least a lot of the police officers in that town already understand the law. I know in some small towns, like Brother Gerald Sutek told me about, you know, going through these little towns, and some of them, man, they're redneck, and they tell you, those officers will come up and tell you, I'm the law, and I don't care what the courts say. We don't do things like that here, and you better move on or I'm going to arrest you. He told me he'd usually go on because here he is, you know, in some little old bitty town hundreds of miles from anybody, you know, that he knows that would help him. And, you know, but there are a lot of towns in this country where they have no idea, and they've never been educated, and they don't understand these things, you know. And
right.
So I'm glad. Maybe Northfield is one of those.
Right. But at the same time, you have to, you know, just like anything, you know, I learned at a younger age, but, you know, as Jesus, you know, they had said, they said, who is this man? You know, he speaks as one having authority and not as a scribe. And as a lawyer, I mean, you've known that, and, you know, but you have to go there. You can't let them in. That's why they have to wear their mask. That's why they have to hide by it or everything. And you see how they're trying to intimidate us. And the thing is when you have to get them, you're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the highest authority, you know, in the universe. And here in or a lot of places where it's at, but ultimately it comes down to the leadership of whoever wants you there, because ultimately it's their hearts are being convicted. Now, like in Wyandotte, you know, there's a captain, you know, a chief of police, and he hates the preaching of the gospel, so he just gives us heck every time we're down there, you know, and a lot. So it comes down to, you know, the convictions, you know, of someone being guilty, you know, of the law of God working them over and get you out of there. So, but yeah, keep on and don't. A lot of times they want to see, you know, if you're really mean business or if you're just out there just messing around. That and the dress, you know, when you're out there, it does make a difference on how you are dressed. You know, just like as a lawyer, if you will walk in there in a cut-off arm T-shirt and shorts, I mean, they're not even going to listen to you, you know. But when you're out there, it's so important to be dressed, you know, I'm not saying to put on a three-piece suit and everything like that, but look like you know what you're talking about. So when you do, before you open your mouth, you're not going to be judged like a bathroom or the authorities come and see, okay, this person is civilized. You know, we're not dealing with the belligerent here with a bandana on his head and shorts and like some of the other street preachers are out there. So, you know, even your dress does make a big difference when you're out there.
Amen. Amen. Okay, brother Finney. So moving forward here, just so folks know, we're going to go out street preaching. I mean, we're going to go out and evangelize in the open air. We're going this Saturday. Either way, basically what we were told was that we could be, you know, if somebody doesn't like what we say, we could be trespassed off of this place for a year. And, you know, if somebody... I told him, he said, now the video is up, by the way, on Faith Baptist Church's website, our Faith Baptist Church's Facebook page. I uploaded the video to YouTube, and I put it on there. And basically, what he said was, if we come back, you know, we do that again or whatever, and if somebody has a problem with it, well, then he can remove us from there for a year. And, you know, he said, that's what he said. I mean,
I know.
You can't.
Hopefully he's not stupid enough to do that, but, you know, there are things that you can do that will make him regret that. Again, you and I are going to, in the church body, are going to talk over what we believe, first of all, the law of God would have us do, and then take those steps that we believe God would honor for his cause, because we're not in it for ourselves. We're in it to glorify him. And hopefully he's just maybe he was, who knows? It may be like the brother said, he may have been sent out there by the chief of police who has a vendetta against what you're preaching. They don't like what you're saying. They don't like how you're doing it. Some of them don't. Some of them do. Some of them do. There were those who responded well, you know, and to what you were doing. And there were others who didn't. And so we don't really know fully why this is all happening right at this point.
Well, we do know that the trying of our faith, you know, worketh patience, and God knows the greater things. And even when we were in Wyandotte, you know, there was a shift change at 7 o'clock, consistently after 2 years in a row. The officers that were there says, we have no problem, but says that the 7 o'clock change, you know, just let you know that it might be, you know, he might have problems. And sure enough, both times it was. So, you have to keep on pressing on. And you, even at the same time, over in Dearborn, not at the festival, but Dearborn Homecoming, you know, this is where it comes to being led of the Spirit and not being in the flesh, because if you get in the flesh when you're out there, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But we've actually moved, and we're not the free speech zones, but we've actually moved to where they want, to where it was, actually, I believe God was in it, because the people will always come to you. It doesn't matter where you're at. God will send the people to it, because the word of God, you know, being preached like that will do that. So we've actually moved sometimes, and it's a matter of only literally 10 feet. I mean, just over here. Okay, you want us right there, you know, and we can still preach and do that. Okay, yeah, no problem. So, you know, you have to use discernment and realize, okay, are they trying to shut you down, or are they just doing their job and logistically for the safety of everyone, for yourself, and for the other people. So, you know, you need to be prayed up when you're out there to, you know, to make sure you're not just in the flesh and trying to even stop what God's, you know, trying to orchestrate, you know, in that open air meeting.
Oh, amen.
You know.
Amen. Yeah, as long as they're not, you know, they want to move you, and it's in good, you know, one time at a special event, they moved us, but they moved us to a better place, really, where it was lit.
Yeah.
It was better, so why should we stand there and argue with them? They weren't trying to get us out of sight and out of mind, you know. They were, for whatever their reasons were, they just felt that maybe it would be better for the flow of people and everything for us to move over somewhere else. And so, yeah.
Right.
Amen,
and if they want you to move, tell them if they want you to move in the sidewalk, I would say go over in the sidewalk in front of those stores. And what are the police going to say? Hey, the police told us to come right here, ma'am. You know, I mean, you know.
Hey, we had
that would change some things.
We had a business owner, you know, we were right out every morning. I mean, every week we would go to this one corner. It was right in front of this one bar, you know. We weren't right in front, but we were on the corner, and his bar was in the building that was on that corner, and we weren't right in front of his door. But, man, he hated us. He tried to get the police to get us out of there and all that. But the police knew we were on the street. On the sidewalk. We were not obstructing. We always told everybody to be very careful about things like that and so forth. And so, you know, yeah, she may be asking them to move you back into the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
absolutely. Well, one of our men was, you know, basically led by the Lord to just walk up and down the sidewalk there and with the scripture sign in his hand and handed out tracts, and that's what he did around the sidewalk there. I mean, and handed out gospel tracts to everybody walked up and down with that sidewalk sign. So that scriptural sign that he had on him. And
signs used in conjunction with. The courts have ruled on that. Signs used in conjunction with street preaching are perfectly, are upheld as part of the speech. The first case I ever had, they cited a guy with violation of the sign ordinance, you know. And then when that failed, we had to go on appeal because we got the whole panel was made up of flaming liberals, you know. But the on appeal, the case was reversed and ordered to be dismissed, but then they cited him under the state sign ordinance. And so we had to deal with that. That one, the Lord gave the victory at trial. But the thing is, see, he's talking about you can't carry signs. See, everything he said was just, he just making everything up. It wasn't based
right,
on
right.
law.
He wasn't.
These matters.
No.
He had no idea.
He took the law into his own hands. I mean, he was just trying to shut you guys down and just thinking you guys were just some pushovers. And so, you know, and that's ultimate because you can't just say make up laws arbitrarily right there. That's what you call the color of law. You know, that's totally, you know, not abiding by the laws of the ordinances
that
are already there.
You get into all that, if they're all against you, hopefully what will happen is once we notify the correct people, maybe they'll do something about it. But even then, you're never assured that there won't be somebody in the chain up there who says, I'm gonna cause those people all the problems I can, you know, and try to keep the pressure on everybody to quit doing it. But yeah, that's another thing, you know, Pastor, like you and I talked about. You could go right there on the sidewalk. There's a sidewalk going around the park, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you would just be just as effective, he's already admitted that he knows you have the right on the sidewalk. You know, once or twice go there until we have time to communicate with them, you know, with the cities. And just explain, we're just trying. We're not trying to hurt the city. Most of the people there, or some of you are citizens of the city and the county, and you're not doing this to hurt anybody. But you're just doing what Baptists used to do all the time and used to get killed for, you know. And what our Supreme Court has said our Constitution, our First Amendment, says we're supposed to be doing. It creates a healthy society to have these things happening when you have a free exchange of ideas and so forth, you know.
Correct.
And that's the thing. People get emotional, like, you know, I hate to say it. Not only women do, but on things like this, men do. women are more emotional than men, but you do run into emotional men. But that woman was just, she was just so emotional. Women, when they get into the area of spiritual matters, we know what happened. They're not supposed to be in, you know, correcting men of God. It should be her husband, if anyone, come over there and talk to you. We know that, you know. And she may have been the one who was responsible for getting that officer out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, definitely.
I'm pretty sure she's the one that that did that. But, you know, nevertheless, we've had the police called on us before there, but it just seemed like it turned up a little bit there. And he definitely tried to chill our rights. I believe that.
Oh, yeah,
right,
for
yep.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
He
yeah,
may have even known what he was doing, but I find that hard to believe. He's talking so stupidly about it. You know, I mean, just you can't carry signs. You were aggressive. I'll decide whether you were aggressive. I'll give you a criminal trespass warning, and you won't be able to come on this park for a year. For example, even in the obstructing a passageway statute here in Texas, if you're involved in speech, protected speech, and they feel like you're obstructing a passageway, rendering it difficult for people maybe to get down a sidewalk or a highway or whatever, they can't just come and cite you. If you're involved in protected speech, they have to come and tell you, look, you're obstructing the sidewalk, people are having a hard time getting up and down the sidewalk, and give you an opportunity to correct that, you know. And maybe indeed you are doing that. And that's where a video in that instance would come in real handy, because you could show whether or not you were, and especially after they told you that, and you could turn your, if you didn't already have it on, you could turn it on and show, yeah, okay, now it's not obstructed. And if they came back, you could show that, hey, this, they're just harassing them. They're not obstructing any sidewalk or anything.
Right. Yeah, brother, if you go back and look at that video when we were there, you can see that I believe actually Brother Jeremy was preaching, and we know that, you know, God gifted him with a set of lungs, but he was actually preaching when you were dealing with the officer, and the officer, you and Brother Cooley there, you had a discussion with the officer, and he went about his ways, didn't say to move from that center there and that building to the city or anything like that, and we continued on preaching for the next hour and a half with no problems. Except, and then officers came, and they just sat in the back, and like I said, we weren't even there. So, something isn't consistent there, because you can't have four officers doing right and then one doing wrong. Well, I mean, you can, but it's not adding up.
Let me say
that's
something
right.
Good here, Pastor, real quick.
Yes, go ahead, brother.
On that page there, that's dealing with this battle, I have links to some really good resources for fundamental Baptists, for other Baptists who have never studied the history of the First Amendment, where they can go back and find out how we actually got our First Amendment. Now, what is a greatly puzzling to me is this. That is such an important thing to know, that history. I actually searched for that history for 20 years. I started trying to find out in the 80s, after I got saved a year or two or three or four, somewhere along there, I started wondering, how did we get our First Amendment? The Lord called me to go to law school. I went to the University of Texas School of Law, took constitutional law, First Amendment law. We were told the First Amendment means what the Supreme Court tells us it means. We studied Supreme Court cases. I didn't learn. I read books by Christian author John Eidsmo, Christianity and the Constitution, a couple of his other books. I listened to his DVD. I watched his DVDs. I listened to his DVDs. I searched David Barton, I searched many other books, and I could never find out until 2005. I started an in-depth study. Now, there were some of our Baptist brethren who already knew this history, but I found it out. The first book I found was book written by a law professor that cited a lot of old books. And by going back and starting to read those old books, I bought the books which are being republished. I found some of them at other places. I found out, and during that time I ran across Brother Beller's books, Brother Grady's books. I found out how we got our First Amendment and what it means. And most Christians could care less. I just do not understand. I do not understand.
Oh, you're right, brother. They don't care. Well, you know, in the case of, I don't know if it's as much as not caring as it is they've bought into the line of the reformers. They've bought into the line of the Dominionists, and you know, they've never tried to dig in deep. I mean, our history was suppressed for about 100 years.
The literature I was getting into, most of it was quote-unquote Christian. So I deal with that in the book God Betrayed in the first two or three or four chapters of Section 4, where I'm dealing with the history of the First Amendment. I deal with this subject of Christian revisionism. And that's what most Americans are reading, is this Christian revisionism by people like David Barton.
All right, Brother Finney, we are just about out of time here. We've got about 30 or 45 seconds left, about 45 seconds left before we're done here. It's been a great show, and I appreciate having Brother Finney and Brother Eric call in, and just many folks that were listening here tonight. I'm very thankful for those that did, and for all the information that Brother Finney has offered us and given us tonight, and his expertise in this. You know, Brother Finney, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my honor. And Brother, the brother there, what's your full name, brother? I've never met you, but I've...
Brother Eric had to sign off. Well, we're going to sign off now, Brother Finney, but we'll definitely be back with you in another week, I'm sure, enjoyed the talk here and enjoyed all the information. Check out all those videos. And great show tonight. Praise the Lord and keep fighting, keep standing strong out there. Get out there and preach the Word of God to you in there, and keep reaching here the gospel and preach to all the lost around the world. But there's so many out there. We need to get out there and do our work for the Lord while we still can. Amen. While it's still day out there and the darkness has to take completely. Have a good week.
Stack them stones, one on another. Stack them stones for you and me.